It's time for Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, a show with life-giving conversations that matter. And now, your host, Carrie Abbott.
Hey, did you know that you are made in the image of God?
Yes, you are.
You, unique, unrepeatable soul that will live on forever, are needed. We need to see you. We need to see your image. We need to experience your life. And that is how God sees every person. Every person on this planet made in his image, whether they know it or not, whether they believe in him or not, he values and loves all life. And so we do too. And when you look around in the culture we're in, there are many pockets of beautiful experiences of life. So I do not want to say that we live saturated with death, but you've heard the term death culture. And that is because a lot of the policies, a lot of the thinking, a lot of the levers being pulled in power, especially right now, bring death, not life. And that can be anything from trying to remove somebody's reputation by saying things about them, making their image change, to actually hurting them, stopping their life, murdering them, or taking their life. And I think there's a really vivid picture of that right now as we look at the governor of New York, Cuomo, who we know now has, well, he's embroiled in a lot of things that are being exposed. He won't be the last one, by the way. I believe that God is in the business of bringing these things to light when he decides, and that indeed is going to continue to take place. But not only did he order people who had COVID-19 back to senior living homes, where we now know they lied about the numbers and many people lost their lives unnecessarily, but news broke recently that he also ordered homes for the disabled to accept coronavirus patients, and he never reversed that. That's a little suspect, don't you think? Never mind that he's completely for abortion at all stages, and it's despicable. We also know that he treats women in such a way as to objectify them, and that is another way of being pro-death. And now that might sound surprising to you, but when you say perverse things to a woman, it hurts her soul. It doesn't give her life. It actually hurts her soul. The Bible tells us that. That is words of death. That's why those things are not supposed to happen, not just in workplace, but in any place. Perverse language is not God's language. It's the enemy's. And the enemy, of course, speaks with a native tongue, which is lying. And so I say all of that to say, although we live in this culture and we feel sometimes saturated by it, we have the ability to bring life and light and love to any situation. Isn't that fantastic? Because we are kingdom people. We are in the kingdom of light and life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've accepted his gift of salvation and you have surrendered to him as king, he has a kingdom that is so amazing, it's ridiculous. And we experience that actually even now because of the ways that he treats us, the way that he loves us, the things that he takes care of. But he's asked us to stand up and speak up on issues of life for that very reason, so that those who are lied to, those who are in the dark, those who have chains around their ankle in a pit, don't realize, oh, that this doesn't feel life-giving, but I don't know the difference. We do. We do. And we are supposed to share that. Well, one of the ways that we can share that, and this is a really fun way, is to talk about how can we be pro-life, which means for life, and prove it. How can we actually believe that all life is valuable from beginning to natural end? Well, there are a lot of ways we can do it, and many of you are engaged already in that. One of the ways that we like to talk about an unusual way to do that is to talk about embryo adoption. And of course, a person I love to have on the show to talk about this with me is Maria Lancaster, and she's one of the founders of Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. She has her own story that many of you have heard, but she also recognizes, as I do, that we need to be involved in life-giving work so that we can offset the darkness. And I want to welcome you, Maria, to the show. Thank you for giving me a moment to talk about more of the ugliness, even though you and I would prefer to talk about the good things, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would, but things are happening and we have to talk about it all.
That's right. It reminded me as I was thinking about having time with you and sharing some of your story and some of the opportunities going on with the amazing ministry that you run, is that the movie that you were in that Mike Huckabee and his team produced, The Gift of Life. I thought about that recently and just thought there's so many ways that we can celebrate life, aren't there?
Yes. So many ways, and so many ways to highlight the gift that life is by recognizing people who run crisis pregnancy centers,
right.
People who reach out to women who are pregnant that need maybe a place to live. There's dozens of ways to be able to be involved and to help people.
Amen. Amen. And we talk about them often on the show. And mm-hmm. I know you've been involved in a variety of those, including the 40 Days for Life and others. But you found mm-hmm. yourself many mm-hmm. years ago, the Lord telling you that you needed to make embryo adoptions available to people. And for the person who doesn't understand how we actually have embryos who are, you know, why they're alive or why they're actually a life and why they're in freezers right now, can you give us that 10,000-foot view?
Sure. So, you know, unfortunately, families from time to time, couples struggle with infertility and they go to the doctor and there are multiple different treatments to alleviate different aspects of infertility. But usually doing IVF or in vitro fertilization mm-hmm. is sort of the last resort, that nothing else has worked, which means harvesting the woman's eggs from her ovaries and from the husband's sperm and making embryos in a petri dish. And then the embryos that usually they transfer one or two at the time to the adopting mom or the mom, and then the rest of them go in the freezer mm-hmm. and frozen at minus 200 degrees at anywhere from two cells to 150 cells, in which they are actually alive, which is amazing. And even the embryo even makes the placenta. It's such a miracle. But
so
anyway,
the
embryos are frozen. And somebody eventually, if the family can't use them all, then they are faced with what are we going to do with our embryos that are in the freezer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a very serious issue once somebody realizes, wait a second, two cells up to however many cells, that's life has begun. It's not, you know, the word viability confuses people. Well, it's after birth. Well, no, it's not. And for those who don't know, embryos are a life and they have the DNA and all the design features needed. They need time to grow and develop. It's actually amazing because basically we are all just tons of cells. If you look at it and go back to that very, very beginning, that's how we all begin. And it's incredible. And as you mentioned, the embryo actually communicates to the woman's body to create the space for the embryo. The whole thing is so miraculous, Maria. I was watching a video the other day and I was just in awe that we can even understand a little bit of the mystery of this. So that happens. We have a lot of embryos now in the United States. Embryo adoption has been going on for some time, but we still have quite a few in the freezer, don't we?
Yes, and the more people that are becoming aware about embryo adoption are choosing to make their embryos available to donate to another family as opposed to donating them for research or mm-hmm. as opposed to discarding them or freezing them, you know, indefinitely. Obviously, for the embryo, being able to be adopted into a family and be born is light years ahead of any of the other choices. And that's kind of how we attempt to counsel donors, because it's a very emotional thing.
Yes.
But at the end of their life, when they have it to look back on, you know, they want to have done the best that they could,
mm-hmm.
which is to try to place them with a loving family that's similar to them so that the child can be born and live.
Right, right. And how many years now? Are you in the 11th year, 10th or 11th year?
Actually, we're hurtling towards year 13, believe it or not.
Unbelievable. So beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And of course, you yourself have your own story of embryo adoption.
Well, and I was thinking about when we were talking earlier about the stages of embryos. You know, my husband and I adopted embryos, and our embryos were only two cells.
Wow.
And they were flown FedEx frozen from the clinic in North Carolina to my doctor's office in Bellevue. And when I look at my daughter, who is going to be 18 in September.
Amazing.
And she's a 4-point student, so much smarter than me. It's just
pathetic. Oh, no, don't say that. And she's different smart than you. Different smart.
She's brilliant. She's brilliant.
She is.
And I look at her and I think, how did all of that reside within that two-cell embryo
yes.
that was frozen
yes.
and flown FedEx across the country?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that is really a daunting thought when you really break it down and analyze it.
It's actually
what could
humbling.
Have happened to her.
Well, that's right. And it's humbling because this is the picture of the most vulnerable among us. Those of us who are pro-life, we're for life. It's easier to look at a person and say, I can value. It's hard to understand the mystery at the cellular level. And yet that is how God works all over his creation. And he requires, he does require us to submit to that mystery and be in awe of his kingdom power, because he spoke all things into being. And it won't be until we're in heaven we're going to go, oh, that's how that worked. We're still trying to catch up, and we see in a mirror very dimly. And so for those who don't understand this, I don't judge anyone, but I want people to really get it, that when you have entered into the space where you can say, this is a miracle, this is a mystery, it helps you not only be grateful for your own family, however God has formed that through biology, through adoption, through embryo adoption, whatever it is, foster care. At the same time, it helps us offset the dark and what I would say is demonic and the evil that resides around us for people who don't know the truth. And the church is meant to be a light on a hill. And this is such a great way for us to do that. Listen, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the adoption part of that. And I know you have a lot of families that are needed. I hope people's ears are perking up, because we have some good news for you, something special happening here in March. And we'll just continue to talk about the value of life, what's going on with Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. We'll be right back.
Hi, Mark Holland here. I produce Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, and I know you're enjoying the show. I can tell you, you are not alone. Many people are engaging with the listening community and are so grateful to have a place to go in the media they can trust. And if you're like me, you want to help friends and family find some peace during these challenging times. So remind them to listen to the show weekdays at 12:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. and also Saturday mornings at 10:30. If they miss the show, tell them to go to carrieabbott.com to download the podcast of each day's show and share it with others. They can also find previous shows with some of your favorite guests. Now more than ever, we need truth delivered with grace. And what better way than to listen to Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott? And friends, if your family needs relationship resources, remember you can go to thelegacyinstitute.com. That's thelegacyinstitute.com.
Legacy's homosexuality and gender identity resource, designed for personal learning and teaching, is winsome and effective. The study is built on a vast biblical foundation and includes the most current research available on gender issues, saving you hundreds of hours of research. Homosexuality and gender identity also includes personal stories of struggles and redemption, current legal cases impacted by homosexuality and same-sex marriage, and transgender challenges all across the nation. For those who want to teach others, this study includes a 7-lesson teaching plan, including handouts, PowerPoint, 6 audio segments, and 8 videos, helping you deliver truth with grace to any audience of teens through adults. Homosexuality and gender identity is a resource every parent, pastor, teacher, and leader needs to own. To get your homosexuality and gender identity resource, go to thelegacyinstitute.com or call 425-485-5346.
We are made in the image of, made in the image of God. Beautiful shades of love. We are made in the image of, made in the image of. That's where the light comes from, yeah.
And now, back to more Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott.
Maria Lancaster is with me, and we're talking about embryo adoption as one of the many ways that we can offset the darkness of the culture, that we can prove, in a sense, that we're pro-life and engage in the mystery of that process. We're talking about the utter awe-inspiring reality that babies start at the cellular level, and we just don't understand it. And these cells divide, and all of a sudden they become us. And we forget what a mystery it is. But God doesn't want us to forget, does he, Maria?
No, and we have so many fantastic stories. And before we get off the phone, I want to tell one. So don't let me forget.
Oh,
that
I definitely
so
want to hear one. Well, you can tell us right now.
Well, on Sunday morning, I got an email from a donor dad who had donated his embryos. He and his wife were young personal trainers, very educated, had a little business, and his wife got cancer, and she died.
Well, I'm
at
so
like
sorry.
26 years old.
Oh my goodness.
And the man that called me on Sunday morning, his father originally called me and said, my son Nathan, his wife has died, and they have embryos in the freezer, and I want you to see if you can help my son.
Mm.
Long story short, I was connected with the son, Nathan, and we made his embryos available to a family, and we moved the embryos from Iowa, actually, to Chicago, to a family who had no children. And a few days ago, they gave birth to a little girl they named Ainsley Maria. And that's not even the fun part. So yesterday, actually Sunday, the dad, Nathan, said, can you please send me some pictures of this baby? Because I'm going over to my wife's parents' house.
Aww.
It was her birthday today, and I want to show them the pictures of
my.
Ainsley Maria, who would be their granddaughter.
Yeah.
And only God could have orchestrated the timing of that and the healing that can come from their daughter's passing, knowing that she has given a great gift to another family and that someday they'll be able to know that girl.
Wow.
It just doesn't get any better than that.
So powerful. It's so powerful. With loss, and you can still bring life into that loss. And it is complicated. Like all situations, adoption is that beautiful picture where we're not creating life here just for the sake of adults who want to have what they want to have. We're talking about a life that already exists. These embryos are in the freezer. We have an obligation, a beautiful obligation as the body of Christ to value that life and find a home, because family is God's intent for human flourishing.
Right.
That is his prescription, and it hasn't changed. And so that story is beautiful. And I know you have many, many more stories like that. In fact, when you go to adoptembryos.org, you'll see a lot there about the work, the stories, pictures. I've met a lot of these babies, and we've had a lot of the different couples who struggled with infertility on our show talking about how this was an option they didn't realize they could have. And one of the reasons that it's so special is that many women long to go through the pregnancy process and bond with their child that way. Well, this indeed allows that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
That's exactly right.
Unbelievable. So tell us what's happening right now. I know you have a lot of extra donated embryos right now.
Well, people have caught on to this. And so, like I was saying earlier, rather than donate them to research, which was kind of like in their minds, their last, you know, their only option to do quote unquote something good, they've now figured this out. And so we have a lot of embryos. And sometimes a misconception is people think that, well, you know, we wouldn't have, we'd only have Caucasian, or we have all kinds of embryos everywhere, from Indian to Asian, all kinds of Asian to, biracial families. So, and actually, across the board of all the children that have been born, we've had a phenomenal mix of different races and ethnicities. So
beautiful.
We do, yes. And so we try to do matching by race, because that's just going to be easier for everybody in the long run. And so, but right now we have so many embryos that we can hardly match people fast enough. We know COVID has been a burden and has caused all kinds of problems that I don't even need to go into. We all know. And so we decided to call the month of March Madness. We're going to give people a COVID discount. If people apply in March, we will reduce their adoption fee by
$1,000
in order to have more people. Because we have so many embryos, I have way more embryos than adopting families, which is a good problem to have in one way. But in another way, we want those embryos to not be in the freezer, and we want them to be born as soon as possible.
Right. Indeed. Wow. Well, how generous of you, because the fees that people pay going through the embryo adoption process with you are much less than they would for other, like in vitro, for instance, or other options that they might have. Adoption is not inexpensive, and sometimes it is It's very taxing. And although I know in both processes, let's say you do a home study, and I know you do, so you take it very seriously, but it's a process that I believe you have just streamlined so beautifully and made it so possible for people. Tell people quickly how the process works.
Well, people apply, and based on what they have told us, we match them up with a social worker, and they do some more paperwork for the social worker. The social worker interviews them, writes up their home study documents so that we have that, so we can tell donor families that people have been screened. And then during their home study process, we're looking for a match. And so we're going through our files of we match people by their religion. So Catholics like to be matched with Catholics, and Protestants like to be matched with Protestants. We try to match Norwegians to Norwegians if we happen to have, and every once in a while we run into, you know, those kind of just little things that are super fun for both families.
Very
because
fun.
They'll really relate to each other.
Yes.
And, but we have, I mean, even just of, just lately, we've had Hispanic babies born, Black babies born. It's really super fun on the matching end, I will say that, because once you sort of put all these puzzle pieces together on the table, like you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, because there's so many factors that go into a match, and all of a sudden, it starts to come together, and you know that this is going to be like something that God did for both families and for the children.
Yes.
It is so thrilling to see a match come together. I can't even explain it.
Oh, my goodness. And I know you've been doing this now for years, and so you have a lot of stories. You have a lot of emotional connection to these families, the adopting families, the donating families. Tell us about the Bridge Project.
Oh, that I was just going to say, you know, because of all this, we want people to be connected to each other. And even in my own life, I found out I had a sister that I didn't know I had.
Wow.
It's a long story, but
okay. Another show, another day.
Time,
okay.
I brought her to the show. But so I know how important the sibling connection is.
That's
and
right.
So we started this thing called the Bridge Project, and all the families have a share file folder that is their own portal. And so updates of all the babies get put into their respective share file folders.
Wow.
And so we begin the process of families being connected, communicating, and our goal is to move people towards maybe a meet and greet. I've done meet and greets at McDonald's, at parks, and where families meet each other for the first time. And it is a beautiful thing. And that is my ultimate goal, to be honest.
Yes.
Is it's more than having a baby. It's more than it is for the children to be able to know their siblings.
Amen.
And for the families to be able to be connected. Maybe they live in different states, but it's sort of like a cousin sort of relationship where they keep in contact. They send little updates and sometimes they meet at summer barbecues once a year. And we want to foster that because that is going to be in the best interest of everybody. And nobody should have to go find their people on 23andMe.
You know, that's so
although
true.
Although that happens.
Yes, it happens. And often it's good. Sometimes it's scary, depending on the family scenario. Ultimately, folks, in heaven, we're all going to know each other. We're all going to be part of God's family. The stories, even the painful part of some stories, is going to be gone. And what exists, and the only thing that goes from here into eternity, is life and love. Trust me, none of the stuff, none of the sadness, none of the pain. And so when you move in towards life and you put that child's importance above other things, God will bless you for it. There is no question in my mind. And that is, again, as I said at the beginning, when there is death around us, we have the greatest opportunity to move towards life in any way possible. And this is one of them. And I would love for you to be part of the prayer team for Embryo Adoption Services. I'd love for you to reach out to Maria, find out how you can help. Maybe a scholarship for somebody. Maybe you want to help bring families together and somebody doesn't have all the funds they need. I know that the special gift you're offering right now of $1,000 off is incredibly generous on your part, Maria. Is the best place to go adoptembryos.org?
Yes, it is. And you can, there's a free initial application form people can send me that I get a little background on them, and then
good.
I can call them back and have a conversation with some facts in front of me about their background so that we can really talk turkey about their situation, and that's all free to apply. And it's on my website.
Talk turkey. You crack me up. You're such a farm girl. I love it.
I am a farm girl.
I know.
That.
I love it. I wish people knew how much. Yes, you are indeed. Oh, you're the salt of the earth, that for sure. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. So you can get that assessment. Send it to Maria. She will reach out to you. Of course, you can always reach out to us if you forget everything. We'll have the link on the show, and you know you can do that with the podcast as well. Well, Maria Lancaster, always a joy to talk to you, my friend, and thank you for continuing the work, the mission. I know God blesses you for it, and I'm just going to continue to ask that He does just that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Everybody else, we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott. This program is a ministry of the Legacy Institute and is listener supported. Please donate today to keep this program on the air. To contact the Legacy Institute, write to P.O. Box 82746, Kenmore, Washington, 98028. The phone number is 425-485-5346 and online at thelegacyinstitute.com or carrieabbott.com.